Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
It's a blessed day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know, we always need your vocals. You know, I mean,
why would you guys not start your day or end your day with this beautiful voice?
Yeah.
Oh, just start it.
You know, the Masked Singer.
What's going on, best friend? Oh, I would do the Masked Singer, but I can't sing. Am I famous?
Yeah, I mean, does everybody on the Masked Singer sing? Because I don't think that everybody can sing.
They had Sarah Palin and Rudy Giuliani.
Right, exactly. Like, I don't think everybody can sing, so I think you have a chance. I totally think you have a chance.
All right, I need a scan too. Well, what's going on? How's it going? How's your day today?
Everything's going well. You know, I'm packing because I am going to Mexico for a little retreat, a plant medicine retreat. So I've just been harnessing my chi.
She's ready to surrender to the island of feng shui.
And detox, because I can't drink. Like, leading up to this, I can't smoke. My marijuana, no coffee, just natural, kind of in your natural state. Ooh. I'm going to be taking the magic mushroom.
All right, guys, tune in next episode. We're going to do a follow-up on her retreat.
Yes, yes. I will be excited to...
Hot topic, yeah. Her plant retreat.
Yeah, yes, yes. How about you, bestie?
I'm good. I'm black and I'm blessed. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. But, you know, I'm here. I'm getting ready for summer. Like, one thing about New York, yeah, I know when to start New Yorking. So it's just like the weather starting to break. It's starting to get pretty. People are starting to go outside. So
it just be lit.
Yeah, you know, so I'm just doing the calm before the storm, because I feel like from June on, it's going to be boom, boom, boom. So
yeah,
I'm good. And I'm also watching a lot of television.
Same. And so let's just get into our weekly grab.
Right. You want to go ahead and start first? For sure.
All right. I'll start first. First on my list, we have The Real Housewives of New Jersey. It is coming to the close of, what are we in, season 13. Okay. So, you know, primarily this season has been focused on the damn family
wedding.
Drama. Yeah. Teresa's wedding and the family drama with her brother and sister-in-law, Joe and Melissa Gorga. But outside of that, this last episode was very telling in regards to Jen Aiden and the signs of trouble in her marriage. There's been a lot of red flags. We've seen, you know, remember the last season, it was like about Margaret bringing up the affair that Bill Aiden had years ago and how their kids found out about it on TikTok.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So now you're seeing them like go through couples counseling. And then couples counseling, it's Jen just kind of telling their business to everyone, like her family and friends. And it's like signs of like, you need help. You know, like she's talking to her brother about Bill not really, you know, he's at work a lot because Bill is, what is Bill? A plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill's at work a lot. And then when he gets home, he goes to the backyard. He doesn't even like come in and interact with the kids or anything. And when she was away on the girls' trip, she was asking, like, did you get to spend time with the kids? And he didn't really show much interest in spending time with the kids. So it's like she's kind of complaining about that. But you could also just kind of tell that Bill is detached.
It's showing in his face and what she's doing. It's showing
clear as day. And I'm just like, I could tell that they're both family people. And then, of course, culturally, you know, it's like they're not trying to divorce. But the red flags are there. And it's kind of like, to me at this point, it's like, are y'all just staying together for the kids?
Yeah.
So I would like to see that dug into more because, again, especially on the Jersey franchise, we need more organic storylining. I'm really just tired of the picking up the fights and this whole thing with Teresa and her family. Now, granted, that's real drama, but it's just, it's like you can tell that the Gorgas are latching onto that because that's the only storyline they have.
And oh, so yeah. There's nothing really going on but them hating or not getting along with
Teresa. It gets played out. And then when it comes to Frank Catania, we're seeing him just show jealousy over Dolores moving on and being happy with her new Irish boyfriend, Paul. The fact that he really even has the nerve to cry tears, it's just like, Frank, bro, y'all been divorced for like over 20 years because of your cheating. In that 20 years, you haven't really shown too much interest. It's like they have such a close friendship, but it's like you never really showed interest in trying to get Dolores back. So yep. It's like, why are you, it's like to me, his insecurity over her relationship with Paul, it just shows like he could tell that they what they got is real. Like Paul is the real deal. Paul and Dolores are the real deal.
He probably just wants her because, like, it's like, I never thought she would be happy and moved on. Because he probably was moving on in love, just doing his thing.
Even
not
when
thinking
she was,
that she was going to move on.
Well, the last boyfriend, he lived with him. Like, David did not, it was like a very weird relationship dynamic Dolores had with David. But David was also very cool with Frank. And so what I get from it is kind of like the Scott Disick. You know, when Scott Disick and Kourtney Kardashian broke up, it's like he still was in. He was at every family function. He, even if Kourtney was dating somebody like that little model, Eunice or whatever, Scott was always around. So he never really felt like he lost her until she got with Travis Barker. And that's what kills me with exes of that type, the toxic ones. Like, you really just want to have, you want this control over me. And I love it when it finally slips out of their hand and they just can't take it. It's like a hit to their ego. More
like
than,
I can't believe you got over me.
Right, like, I can't believe like really
how dare you?
Yeah, I can't believe you displaced my toxicity. Yes, I did. And then last on my thing is just like, girl, right now the focus is on Teresa's beef with Joe and Melissa, but all the signs are there. The red flags are showing when it comes to Louis, and that is coming. I see it coming next season. There was inklings of it last season on his first season because remember, Margaret was the one trying to get up in his past. But Louis is weird. He's super, super weird. Something's off with bro. Like serious, 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 serious. And, you know, Teresa sure knows how to pick him. You could tell that she is such a pushover with the people that she loves, her family. Teresa's
so bad.
She's such a, she was a pushover with Joe Giudice. She's always been a pushover with Joe Gorga. She never gives it to Melissa the way she gives it to the other women on the cast because it's her sister-in-law. So you could tell that Teresa just has this blind loyalty to her family. And now with Louis being her husband, it's he has that benefit because that's how Teresa is loyal to the soil with the people that she loves. And but Louis, oh my gosh, like he's getting there. Cause even in this the teaser for this next episode, where he and Joe get into it and he's like, I'm winning. And it's like, why do you think you're winning, Louis? Cause you're married to a reality star. Cause like now, you know what I mean? Like now you're on a reality show. Cause you married a reality star. Like, it's like, I think we're starting to see, and there was always things about how did Louis meet Teresa? Like there was rumors that he was trying to connect with a housewife of some type.
Get out of here. So he was plotting on somebody.
But I think she was like his favorite, but he like, he met Alexia of Miami years before. And it's like for him to know who you are, right? Like, this is a grown ass man. Like, are you watching Housewives? How do you know? You know what I mean? Like, how do you know who these women are? And the way he met Teresa while she was jogging or something like that at the Jersey Shore. So it's like, did you plan this out? Like, how did this happen? Like, I don't know, but now it's like, there's just red flags there. And I think right now, because the main focus is the Gorgas being so annoying and Melissa being so narcissistic and manipulating, and it's coming more to the forefront, even though I've been seeing it about her since season three,
I remember their face work is something else. Like watching the transformation. Cause you know, I'm still catching up, watching their faces change.
Oh yeah.
Lord, the Botox.
Melissa's face, Teresa's face, Teresa's hairline, Margaret as well. Margaret got work done. She got a whole facelift. And that's for the most part. I think Dolores definitely gets Botox. Yeah. Yep. But I mean, you know, it is. It's a part of probably even also being on television.
Mm-hmm. And wanting to just look bright and tight in the light.
Yeah. But like, I'm just, yeah. Like, so I wanted to kind of highlight that because I definitely think the next season, season 14 of New Jersey, I think it's going to be really good. I'm already plotting on that just because of the red flags, the signs that you're seeing as we wrap up season 13. And I'm here for it because, you know, I do love Teresa. As much as she is, you know, she's annoying. She is. But
I just felt bad for her. Like, I just really felt like she's gone through it. That clip that went viral about, you know, the divorce, the everything she went through. Yep. Like, I feel bad for her and I want her to win. And I just hate that. I hope they're wrong about Louis, but you know, sometimes a sign be signing and to be plotting to meet somebody, if that is true, like, I just want her to win. I just want him to be real. You know, she just deserves it.
She does. But what do you got, bestie? What you been watching?
All right. So, you know, first on my list is the wonderful show that is College Hill on BET Plus.
Yes, I've been seeing clips.
Ooh. It made me get another subscription. I might cancel it after the show because it is what it is. Okay, y'all.
What else are we watching on?
It's too many. It's too many of these damn things. Yeah. So it stars eight, you know, stars, reality stars, actors, whatever. And then basically they all go back to college. They actually are really serious. They take certification classes. And in the classes, you talk about, you know, like actual like African-American history, whatever the major is. And you have to take tests. You have to do extracurricular activity. And they just put these people in the house and they go to school. So this season you have Amber Rose, Jocelyn Hernandez, Omarion's little brother. I guess Omarion was busy, so they had to get Orion.
Black Jesus. Yes.
They got Quay, who's like on Instagram. Tiffany New York Pollard. Yes. I love her. She can do wrong.
The queen of reality.
Love New York. Iman Shumpert, who I also love. Parker Posey, aka Katie, from My Wife and Kid. Who is just like the cutest thing ever. And I believe that is everybody. So basically, I have a lot of thoughts about this show. Tiffany, I love on TV. Tiffany could just be on TV the entire time. She just is so like, she cannot say the word curriculum.
She said curriculum,
and everybody's saying it's curriculum, curriculum, curriculum. And I'm like, is she doing a bit? I'm like, no, this girl really can't. She really can't say curriculum.
I love it.
She also got the Jersey face. People just doing too much stuff to their face.
But she didn't completely change her face.
It's the nose. She got her nose done.
Oh, okay.
She got her nose. You could tell. Watch the first 20 minutes. It's crooked. It's a little, sorry, girl. Aww. I'm sorry. It's just, you could just tell. I forgot Ray J, of course, missed season one. Now he's back.
Ray J always with the check.
Oh my God. One thing about Ray J is he's going to go on that show. If they call him for dancing.
If you call him for a reality show, he is showing up.
He is showing the hell up. You hear me? Like, Ray J don't have no shame in his TV game. He wants that check. So he's there like, I'm the leader. I have to lead all you people. Like, I have to teach you guys what to do. But he failed because he didn't want to go to class. He didn't want to wake up on time. So you learn a lot of things. First of all, I did not know Amber Rose was an atheist. She's very strong about being that. But I also can tell something very traumatic happened to her. And I think it was someone who was a person of God or like spoke highly of God. And I think it just completely, the way she talks about being an atheist, it comes from a personal experience. So I feel sorry for her. It's interesting because I didn't know that Quay was like such a big like Christian guy. Like I think his parents are like pastors, so he's really uncomfortable. But you can tell Amber Rose been through some shit and she's like hurt. Then you have Jocelyn. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Baby. Oh, by the way, I'm going to let you finish because you're actually watching the show. I'm just seeing the clips. Like, I just want to say off the record, I met her personally and I liked her. She was very, very nice to me. But time and time again, I canceled my Zeus subscription. I only had Zeus to watch her show. But I asked after that last season, baby. So now go tell us what how she's causing terror on this show, bestie.
She's just such a bully. The thing is, Jocelyn really does. A part of me doesn't know if she just purposely ostracizes herself and is just mean and rude to flex. I think fame mm-hmm. is not for everybody, especially when you come from humble beginnings. And she just, everybody going out to eat, everybody wearing sweats, a t-shirt, she gotta act like she going to bottle service. Like, and she's always late, just trying to just, I'm a baddest bitch. You want to see what it looks like? No, go to class.
Right.
Like, she just does a lot. She's a bully.
Yeah.
I could tell she don't act too sober. I'm a legend. I'm not saying she does or she doesn't, but she just always, when she's drinking, she just seems so like angry.
Yeah.
And just being a bully for no reason. Like, somebody say something. Oh, you said this. I don't like, she just does too much. And it's just like, you don't have the right to be this mean and then say people are picking on you.
Right.
So I can't wait for you to see just how much of a bully she is, honestly.
I mean, though, this is what started to turn me off. Because, like, so if you, I know you didn't watch Jocelyn's Cabaret, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
No, it's there's levels. I'm sorry.
I'm into, like, the ratchet stuff, but it just got too ratchet. Because the only two shows I was watching on Zeus was Jocelyn's Cabaret and One More Chance.
Oh, I do like One More Chance. I did like One More Chance.
I actually like Chance. Yeah. So the first season of Jocelyn's Cabaret, it was more, it's never been wholesome, but her energy was more humbling. Like, it was her first season. You could tell that she was excited to create opportunities for these girls. And speaking as a mentor, as like, I came from these streets of stripping, and I'm trying to help you embrace your womanhood and your individuality and your fierceness. You know, like, I'm for all of that, whether y'all strippers or not. Like, I'm for owning your individuality. And that's what you were getting from it in season one. So I was here for it. I was like, no, this is going to be great. And she had this vision of this cabaret, right? So I'm seeing it like, okay, it's just starting out in this small, it was like, in Miami? I could see it in the future seasons actually being in Vegas, and she has her own spot. That's a cabaret. You know, because we even go to Vegas. If we could go see a show of sexy Black, you know, and Black,
I would love it.
Are you kidding me?
So but I think the fame gets to her head. I think
So not only herself, that, but you know, we know from watching Love and Hip Hop, she also comes from a lot of trauma. And this is my message for the Jocelyns, for the Marlowes, and for some of these other people that I have personal experiences with that talk about how they were abused in childhood and was in foster care, but you're now an adult bully and an abuser.
Such a bully.
You need to go do the fucking work and get yourself the help that you need. Because you cannot continue to make excuses for what happened and what you went through in the past, for how you're still continuing to just spew out that negative that was poured into you back in the day. You're spewing that out to other people. Unwarranted. I've seen different clips from this show that you're Kyle Chill. She got into it with everyone. New York, Ray J, you threw water on Quay. What the fuck did he do? Katie from My Wife and Kids.
Yo, that shit was so annoying because she's so sweet. They share a room and she just wanted to go in the room and she locked her out the room. She's locked out.
And then we see the teaser that Amber Rose was like, no, I'm going to fight your ass because now you're talking about I want to be a white girl. It's like you're doing that to pick at people. And so what happened on this last season of Jocelyn's Cabaret, which caused this hiatus, because I thought it got canceled, but somebody was like, do your research. I'm like, whatever. Extended hiatus because she don't know how to keep her fucking hands to herself. You got girls coming on this show looking up to you. They are allowing you to belittle them all throughout the season, only for you to come to this reunion with boots on and be stomping out some girl. You saw
it.
It was so disgusting. And that's why I was just like, I can't condone this anymore, because now you could tell that the NeNe effect happened to her. Like, oh, you made it to your third season. You're really fucking feeling yourself.
Yep.
And you think that you can do what you want, which involves abusing people who came to work for you. Bitch, I don't care what part of the gutter that you from in Puerto Rico. They brought your ass to college to learn something. Learn something.
Literally. And all she do saying is, I'm the baddest, I'm the hottest. Like, girl, no.
Learn some business acumen before you keep messing up contracts for yourself. And you want to keep talking about you the baddest. The only reason people are keep continuing to give you an opportunity to put you on a show is so you could come bring them ratings, make them more money than you're making, and make an ass out of yourself. So if that makes you the baddest, go ahead. But now all you're doing is continuing to now make more people be like, yo, what's up with you? Because at this point now, it's like, I see all on Twitter, like, people are just like, yo, like, nobody's feeling her.
Bully. When I say best friend, she's just like a bully. She just creates. And then it's like, she goes to this person and like, complains, like, oh, I'm an outcast. They leaving me out.
Real
And then,
lie.
no,
Tanaya, you
it
know
was
that's
Orion. Orion. It was Orion.
idea.
He was like, we can't leave somebody out who don't want to be involved. Like, we're
Right.
trying, and you're like ostracizing yourself. So we're not gonna do that. Like, she just gets mad at everybody.
Tanaya,
But
that
I'm still
sounds
gonna
like
watch the
somebody you
show.
personally know, and we know that a lot of that is coming from, it's like, it's an inner issue. And then you're pushing yourself away from people and then trying to act like everyone else is the problem. It's a continued victim mentality. I saw someone on Twitter say, because she was getting out of New York for crying over her dog. And someone was like, she was with Stevie for how long? And he's a dog. I'm like, oh my gosh, if New York would have said that, but that would have just started a fight. Because it's like, that's the thing too. You could tell that she's wanting to fight. She's wanting
All
to
she want to do is
antagonize
fight.
you to get a reaction. So then you could try to fight her. And we're not gonna sit here and say that Jocelyn don't got hands. She got hands. I haven't even really, the only one person, hilariously enough, that's why everybody said they say, like, put her on the show with Jessica Dahm. That's the only person we saw Jocelyn.
Jessica gave her them hands. She
No,
sure did.
she did not, and she was not trying to face Jessica Dahm on Love and Hip Hop. Sure was not. Because Jessica Dahm, y'all the same. Jessica Dahm's bigger than you, and she got those hands, baby. And she come from the strip club too. So it's like she met her match with Jessica Dahm, and that's the only one where we've seen where she kind of like bit back. But with everyone else, it's like she enjoys trying to antagonize you, because then it's like she wants to fight and then she wants to whoop your ass. And like you said, Tanea, that's a bully.
He's a bully. So it's a good show. It's a funny show. There are funny moments. Like Tiffany makes it funny. But Jocelyn's a bully. So I'm gonna stay tuned.
No, it honestly does look like a good show. I'm gonna be trying to figure out how to watch it on YouTube. It's like right now, and of course I would want to support BET, but when I went to just go look and see like what else on here would I want to watch outside of College Hill. So it's like you got to think about, like, if you want people to pay for your content, you got to give like good content. So I don't know. I did see that BET Plus has a lot of our old shows from back in the day.
Yeah,
I
they
was like,
do.
okay, I might want to watch Hell Date.
Ooh.
I might want to watch some old episodes of Hell Date and laugh, but I don't know. Right now, we're already paying for too much. I done reactivated Paramount Plus for Drag Race, so it's just like I gotta, be careful. Be more careful, like the girl.
Listen, period. And it's the whole thing that Jocelyn's saying, like, this is why y'all hired me. Y'all paid me so I could be mean. It's like, no,
No.
you could be popular and not be a bully. So
Right.
she thinks it's
We
cute.
would love to see you some growth in you. And that would have redeemed you, and that would have had everyone, if your show is coming back on Zeus, everyone would be like, you know what? I saw a change in Jocelyn on College Hill. I'm gonna go support her show. But like at this point, it's just like, I don't even know how they're bringing that show back. I mean, I do know only because that Zeus at this point is just straight ratchetry. Like that's just what he's
Oh
doing.
Lord, baby Jesus, I
He
can't.
knows
That
not to.
bad boy show. I said I cannot.
Yeah, I have not reactivated my subscription after I canceled it after Jocelyn's Cabaret. So now I just stay up with his ratchetry shows through clips on social media,
That's it.
and
That's
that
all I'm gonna
works for
do.
me. That works for me. But I will say that Jocelyn's Cabaret was some of the craziest. This one, I'll say, okay, the one girl, one because the girls that are going on there are crazy. So the one girl, she was like a Jesus freak, but she was like really out of it. Gets up there to dance, Tanae Bessie, just 1976 vagina hair, like. Just straight, like caveman. It was like, what? Like, I can't believe this. Another girl got kicked out the house for attacking all the girls when she was in her confessional talking about it. She had these little things on her nipple rings, pulled out her titties, and lit candles on her nipples or something of some sort. Lit her nipples on fire. It was just like, wow, this is just, I don't think I would see this anywhere else other than Jocelyn's.
Oh my gosh, please make it work. We're gonna pray for her.
Yo,
We're
yeah.
gonna pray for her.
But it was
What's next
hilarious.
in your weekly
Next time
grab?
our weekly grab, we have, of course, Vanderpump Rules. This season was amazing. And the trailer for the reunion looks explosive. Like I literally, my mouth was like dropped open as I was watching it. Like, oh my God, oh my God. I was like, this has to be like four parts because it's just gonna be so good. But basically what you're seeing now in these last few episodes, because it's the unearthing of Tom and Raquel's affair.
Ooh,
And
wait, side note, have you been seeing on social media that like people are pulling receipts that right before they filmed that they were on a double date?
who?
Tom and Raquel.
With who?
with each other right they before they filmed that.
What do you
big
mean a
scene?
Double date? Who was the other? What do you mean?
Schwartz and some, who's the girl he's dating? Or some other girl.
Oh, so Tom and Raquel were on a double date with Schwartz and another girl.
Yes. Literally hours, they have the same outfit. I'll send it to you hours before they filmed that whole dinner scene because I just watched like clips of it. But yeah, they were on a date and that's why Ariana went and they were like, are you sure you want to be with him?
Yo, it's crazy. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so you're seeing Tom and Raquel gaslighting Ariana when at this point, it's like now you're knowing in hindsight, like, oh, they were sleeping with each other. And it's like Tom is gaslighting Ariana, like, we just haven't been happy in years, which granted, like I said before, he's not wrong. Ariana's explaining, like, I don't want to have sex with a stranger. Like, if you don't show me, it's like, Ariana, please, bitch. Like, you have been saying for years you don't like having sex with him. You've also, like, kind of talked about maybe kind of identifying as queer. She also goes through things of depression. I really want Ariana now in her singledom to find her truth and live in it and own it and love it. Because there's something there and it had nothing to do with Tom, but you know, him cheating on you didn't help. And then you see Raquel literally gaslighting Ariana, like, well, why aren't you guys having sex? I mean, sex is important. Like, I have to have sex. And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're saying this. And the whole time you're sleeping with her man. Like, if I was Ariana, like, after I find out, bitch, I'm whooping your ass. Like,
period.
Point blank, like, I'm dragging you to oblivion. Physically. But yeah, so, oh, what I wrote down in my notes, I wrote that Tom and Ariana's relationship dynamic was very much giving season 2 of White Lotus. Like, they were giving that couple that went to the hotel in Italy and, like, wasn't even really having sex. He's going for runs and masturbating after. Like, what is going on here, guys? Like, it's not, yeah. And so that's really what Tom and Ariana, they were basically like roommates. And then what you're seeing with Raquel is that she's clearly vengeful over James. And it's like she became heartless to everyone because she was being this sweet, caring airhead. She's always been an airhead. That's nothing new. Like, she's always been an airhead. But now it's like you're just this vindictive airhead whore who is trying to hook up with everybody's boyfriend because you're mad that James got a whole new girl. Girl.
Ooh, and hurt people, but that's not the way. I think she's like, well, he hurt me, so I'm going to sleep with everybody's man. But my whole thing is, I agree. Like, there's so many other people, like.
What did you say last week? There's so many white men in
LA. There's so many white men in LA. So many rich. I could find her, anybody, in a second. Bring me to serve, pump, dump, wherever. Yes. I bet you I could find her a man.
You sure
can. You gotta go after your friends, man. That's what makes it so bad. Because you're in their face and you're literally sitting here kind of convince her to stop being with her man because you're doing him and you want him. And he doesn't love you.
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, what's next on your weekly grab?
One of my, I guess you can call this a white show because there's only like 3 black people in it. And I know Jerazin thinks I like to go to white shows. You know, I kind of do. This is Jury Duty. Have you heard of this show?
No.
So basically it's kind of like The Office and The Truman Show. So 2 years ago, or like a year ago, these producers put out a ad on Craigslist looking for somebody who was open enough to be filmed about the process of being on Jury Duty. So a random white guy's like San Diego answered, but the whole thing is fake. So he thinks that it's a real trial. He thinks that the cameras are following him for this documentary. He's like, I've never heard of this production company. It's too small. But all in all, everybody's an actor. It's all improv. They're making up the craziest stories to try to knock him off. They have James Marsden, this actor that he's acting like a very crazy version of himself. They have him rooming with a guy who like wants to be the Bug's Life, and he invented like crutch chairs. It's just a dumb ass show.
What is it on?
Amazon Freevee. It's like a new stream, but it's free 100%. It's called Amazon Freevee. Freevee. I guess.
Okay. It sounds, I like shows like that. Like, I watch.
You would love it because, first of all, he's a sweet guy and they just keep trying to fuck with him and they keep getting away with it. But you think like he would get angry or mad, but he's like, it's okay. Like, one Asian guy like lost like $20,000, $30,000 gambling and he tried to say, I'll pay you back in gumball drops. Like one old guy was like, oh, let me go masturbate before the trial starts. And then he falls and hurts himself. And he thinks this is real. He's like, this gotta be a TV show. Like how, and then at the end, they like, you know, they tell him like, no, it's fake, but it's just so funny because yeah, he really thinks that this is really happening. But it's not. I think you would like that show. It's funny and it's free. And he's a hero because he could be an asshole, but he's so sweet. The weirder people get, the nicer he becomes. And then they reward him at the end. Even now, he was like, it took him a month to stop being paranoid and thinking people were following him. Because this whole time, he thinks that all of this is real. Everybody's fake. The only person real is him. It's so funny.
Wow. Yeah, no.
It's a different premise for the show. I hope they continue it. It's going to be hard because this is popular, but I just like how different it was because it's like a Office or a Parks and Rec, but it's one person right. who really is taking it seriously, and everybody behind the scenes is like, this was a camera. The black attorney is so bad.
It's kind of like a Truman Show type. Yes,
it's just like a Truman Show. It's a funny Truman Show because he thinks he's filming a real documentary that's going to be on Netflix about what jury duty is like, but it's a comedy. The people, actors, the directors are actors, the lawyers are actors, the actual like court case is fake.
Oh.
Nothing is real. And he thinks all of this is real. He's taking it serious. He's like, and everybody's making it harder to try to mess with him and make it funny. But you don't laugh at him. You just laugh at the crazy people around him. So you would like it. It's a quick 6 to 8 episodes. It's really good.
Yeah. Sounds good. And that was well, last on my weekly grab is a new short little show I've been watching on Roku called Tiny B&B. It's following this guy. Damn it. I forgot his name. But it's a young, he's like a YouTube kid, and he must have just kind of pitched this show and got it picked up on Roku. But it's good. Like he is a tiny house connoisseur and an Airbnb connoisseur. And so he enjoys looking for tiny houses on Airbnb and just going to go stay in them and review them. And so he has this show where he literally goes around to these little tiny houses. And, you know, I kind of have an affinity for tiny houses, too.
Oh, I can see you in a little tiny house. Like
like little tiny things and just trying to see how, like, you can make it work and feel cozy and livable in these livable tiny spaces, like with tiny little kitchens. Like, I'm always looking like, do they have at least an electric some burners for a stove? How do they incorporate if you want to cook your food, a little fridge? So just seeing like all these little different tiny homes that are around the country because he travels domestically. It's really, really cute. And if you're into home design and interior design shows like myself, it's a cute little watch. And it's quick because each episode.
Is it people's houses and he stays there or he just like shows you what they are?
Yeah, no, it's they're Airbnb. So people, I mean, you don't meet the people. He's literally only touring the tiny home. Like, and some of them are shipping containers. Some of them are tiny homes that people built in their backyards. Most of them are in people's backyards. And you don't see the people, but you might see their dogs. Like one tiny house, they had their dogs there. It was like so cute. But they're all different kinds of styles of tiny homes in all areas of the country. Some are tree houses. He has one episode of treehouse tiny home.
Treehouse?
Yes. Like treehouse tiny. Just really cute. I'm telling you, there's such really cute little nooks all around the country, and it's like you could kind of just vibe out whether you're going on a little romantic weekend with somebody, and y'all could just kind of be off the grid together, or if it's something you want to do by yourself to go just be at peace with yourself and in nature. They're all really, really cute, and I just like watching them. Those are kind of, I watch those my evening time shows is when I'm winding down in the bed. I'll watch an episode of the Tiny B&B.
New show for us. Let's try to stay at them and see how little we could pack, because I know we won't succeed.
Oh my gosh, that would be my biggest problem is like, okay, how am I going to pack and keep it in this little tiny little space? But I really would like to stay in at least one tiny home because I've watched so many things about them. I watched the tiny house on Netflix. I watched the ones on HGTV. So I'm like, I've never stayed in a tiny house. I mean, granted, I lived in a studio apartment in downtown LA. And that was
a tiny home within itself.
Yes. If you've ever lived in a studio apartment, it's a tiny house. Like you're really learning how to kind of maneuver. But at the same time, I had like a whole full kitchen still. Like it was like a spacious kitchen, spacious bathroom, and then just one room that I turned into the bedroom, living room. But like these tiny homes are to fit inside of that studio I was in. Mm-hmm. So it's really cute to kind of see how they maneuver these little tiny little spaces. I don't know. It's like a little weird fetish I have, I guess.
All right, that's cute. I'm gonna get her a little block of tiny houses.
Do we have anything else on the weekly grab?
No, because I feel like our deep dive is gonna be a pretty deep one.
Surely.
Favorite shows are back and I have thoughts. So let's get into that.
Yeah, let's get into our deep dive. Did you want to go into the deep dive and go over everything else? Are you want to like kind of switch it up and do the deep dive first and then the rest of our segments?
I want to dive deep into Drag Race.
Okay, let's dive deep.
This is a 2-episode premiere. And
yes.
You know, it was good this week. I liked it. I don't know about the cast.
You know what I gathered? You have to remember, last season, we were spoiled. That was hands down the best season. That was the best season of All Stars, the best cast of All Stars. And we were so spoiled. And remember, that was an all winner season. So you to go from an all winner season and to the next season, like now you're bringing back the people that got sent home first and second. So it's like you're seeing the difference because now this season of All Stars feels like a season of Drag Race, like a regular season, because these girls, okay, let's get into it, right? The first two that went home, no surprise, right? Like,
no surprise at all. No surprise.
Zero. Monica Beverly Hills, literally, I'm like, girl, you did the same thing you did last time you was on the show. You're so insecure. You're beating your own worst enemy. And you sit here and you break down crying from getting a little feedback. It's just like, girl, yeah, you got to go home. You got to go home, girl. And at this point, don't come back. I know you love drag. And the crazy thing is, like, when I watch her confessionals, she's gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, beautiful.
So pretty to look at. But it's like, if you don't see it in yourself, it doesn't matter. And I know you love drag. I know it's all you got. And I get it. But being on a competition reality show is not for you. And of this caliber, it's not for you. Because as soon as you get up in here, you're clearly getting in your head because you're sizing yourself up to these girls who are fierce. And as much as you got it, if you don't believe you got it, then you're not going to have it. And it's like, so now you're wasting our time because this is All Stars. This isn't regular season where we're used to having some girls who just aren't ready yet. No, this is All Stars. That means you beat it before. Yeah. She brought you back. That means you got to come back really, really ready to compete, glowed up, all of that, like Kahana Montrese.
Ooh. And so, plucked. And what does Heidi call them? The all-star lips. I was like, that is real. Every girl from the original season, 98% of them come with something tucked, plucked, sucked. Oh, yeah. And they look completely different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But listen, I'm not mad at the glow-ups. I broke that down. I love all the glow-ups. So let's talk about who we're most excited for. Who are you most feeling so far?
I love Candy. I see Candy in like my top three, if not the winner. I think her fucking look. Candy's always been cute.
Yeah.
But she just looks so elegant. Her promo look was amazing. Her entrance look was amazing. Her makeup is beat for the gods. Okay. Like Candy's old. So Candy definitely is giving me like top energy. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for Lala Ri. She gives me like top five.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes her outfits be looking a little cheap and I'm like, girl.
Yeah, like when like, yeah, I know I agree. One when thing she stapled those letters, I was like, what the hell? Girl, why couldn't you get those letters stitched onto the damn jumpsuit?
That looked very Dollar Tree. That looked very
like, why would she do that? It's like, girl, like you've been off for like two seasons, you watch all of the shows. Why do you keep thinking that you can do little cheap ass shit like that? Like it's annoying. Like, girl.
I'm just looking like, but she's so beautiful. I'm rooting for her.
Yeah,
I also personally love Jimbo's weird ass.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So weird, but I love Jimbo. I just think she's funny, hilarious. I love her passions. I miss everything. I am here for Darian Lake. I would love, like, you know, a little seasoned queen to kind of make it further than, you know, all the young ones. And finally, Heidi. I love Heidi. She's hilarious. It is drag con. We keep saying we're going to go every year. So, like, next year I have to go. Because it's drag con in LA right now and I'm loving the looks, but I have to make it 1 year to drag con.
Yeah.
Who are you excited about? Who are you?
So right now, Alexis Michelle is at the top of my list.
Mm.
I liked her before her. She's fierce, right? She's fierce. She carries herself well. Like she can deliver in the challenges. She can serve a look, all of that. She's nice. She's not like sneaky, conniving, none of that. Kasha Davis. So I always love the season queens, especially on these all-stars. I love the season queens. So Kasha Davis, I liked her from the beginning. And even with that first challenge, granted, their group did horrible with their choreography.
But at
the end of the song, when Kasha said, brunch. I loved it. I was like, yes, I love Kasha. She gives us that old Hollywood kind of glam and comedy. So I love it. Of course, Jimbo. I didn't know who the fuck, you know, I don't watch outside of the US because I'm not paying for WoW. But, so yeah, but when I would even see clips from the Canada Drag Race, I was like, oh, he's funny. Like, he's actually really funny and he could really serve a look. They're very different, but they work. And they're very, very fierce. Lala Ri, she's just really like herself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't help but love it. Also Jessica Wilde.
Yes, she always cracked
me up. I remember her from back in the day because she's like a gif. Like, she's like a funny, famous gif from Drag Race. Because she's just, as you can see, kooky. When they were doing the choreography, she's like, let's do money. And cha-cha-cha. I was like, oh my gosh, I just love, how can you not love Jessica Wilde? Like, she is.
Wait, do that again.
Money. Bing. And cha-cha-cha. Like, oh my gosh. Like, if we were doing a video episode, you would see me actually doing the hand movements and everything. Because, like, Jessica Wilde is hilarious. And, of course, I love Candy Muse. And I love that she's being a more of a team player and tone it down. Because you saw her getting a little Candy Muse Bronx, like, when she was trying to shit on Heidi's choreography. But it's like, Heidi was like, okay, but what you got?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yes, so be quiet. Yes. Thank you. Let me, and look how good they did.
They did so.
All you had to do was take her choreography, what Heidi was coming up with, and then just rock it up. Like, you know, like, do your little punk rock thing. It was good choreography, and that's why y'all looked in unison compared to the other group. But sometimes I think Candy is super Bronx, and you're just ready to be mad at
her. She can't help. She can't help it,
and I get it. But it's like, I like how you could see her toning it down because everyone was just quiet. And it's like, yeah, girl, cut it out. Don't come here being the bully. Because nobody likes that. And I was already super excited for Darian Lake from just seeing the teaser of who was going to be on the cast. Because I remember her season and I'm like, yeah, she's a fierce queen. And when she made sure to remind you, like, the season she was on, who she was competing against, and the fact that she came in fourth. But baby, when she came out with that Billie Eilish, I was like, what is that? It's just like,
it's like your grandmother trying to be hip.
It's not giving. And then now to go into the people that have been underwhelming, the two that already went home, they were already on my list.
Nation Lopez, I was like, oh, she is not funny. She is not at all.
Pretty girl though. But James Mansfield, I think right now he's getting by on just his personality, but it's just like, no. Mm-hmm. And that, like, again, even this last challenge in episode two, it was the Met Gala. I was like, I was just kind of like remind myself. I was like, RuPaul said net, right?
Yes.
You just came out with a hair net on your hair. Like, I didn't really get that. And I know you said Heidi, and I do love Heidi. And with Heidi, it's always been her personality. She's definitely stepped up her looks, but it's still missing the mark for me. I did not get Met Gala from her in the second episode. And in the first one, I hated whatever that was, what she did with the makeup on her face, and it was supposed to either be glam or, like, some people did old Hollywood glam, and then others came out like with, because it was like a queen, right? And
yeah.
Some people came out like Nefertiti or whatever. What was Heidi? I didn't get it. And in two challenges in a row, I'm like, what is Heidi and James Mansfield? I'm like, you're kind of, what are you doing?
Missing the mark, or because I think it was like fame, old fame and new fame, but I couldn't. It was
right. So what was Heidi? I still don't get what was she trying to give.
It's just not giving the mark. Yeah,
it's not giving for me. It's really not giving. And so, as much as I do like Heidi's personality, she's not giving. And I can't necessarily confidently say if she does make it to the end again, it'll be over her personality. The look so far, just these first two episodes, it's just not hitting for me. It is elevated from what she was given on her season, but it's not elevated enough for me to think that I would pick her over a Jimbo, over Michelle, over a Candy Muse. But we can see, you know, because at the end of the day, I do think that the competition isn't so stiff this season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like anybody's game. But it was so crazy to see how Kahana went from top to bottom. Ooh!
Yo, isn't that crazy how, like, she literally was doing her thing and then you give her acting. You know what? Some queens just don't have that timing. I think it's easy to be like a look queen or like a, you know, even a fashion queen, but that comedic timing specifically in Drag Race is very important. It's a downfall. Like, I think of like a Robin Fierce, beautiful, dry as hell. So it's like, I think that's important to have some type of personality. You don't have to be crazy and like outgoing, but I mean, like Nasia Lopez, I was like, you are beautiful. You are gorgeous, but you're just, Forgettable. What do you think about this twist, about this extra way to make money, about the game, the fame games?
I think it's cute to try it out. I wasn't really gagged over it. It's not really like so exciting to me. It's like, I'm like, okay, we'll see their outfits and people can vote. And then one of them potentially just kind of have the chance of being like third runner up and you win some money. That's nice.
Well, basically, yeah, they'll just give them, it's based on, I guess, social media, because I guess she noticed that a lot of the girls post their looks like after they get eliminated. So I guess she wants to give them opportunity to get money.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like, if you get more votes online and that's not the person who wins, then you the winner. That's what
something. I thought. Right. I thought it was going to be more gag worthy, but it wasn't. But I do like, again, that she's incorporating the fans and still allowing the eliminated queens to get their shine on throughout the season. But you know, I was thinking about you when Old Girl came out for the Lip Sync Assassin in episode one. I was like, Taneya definitely spoke her up.
I said, where is Aja La Beja? And they heard me. My bitch Aja came to slay. First sure of all, Candy was hype like me.
She sure did.
And Candy honestly, was hype like me.
I was like, I wasn't sure who was going to win that lip sync. It was a really close call, but Aja did turn it up and turn it down. And I was happy to see Candy, like, excited to see her drag mom. Really, really cute.
Yes. I do notice how they're trying to incorporate more of the international queens to the U.S. side, because I feel like they were putting a lot of the U.S. queens on the international side. But like between Jimbo, Pangina being
they're
a
fierce.
Assassin, I love it. Let me tell you, I love it.
I didn't know who Pangina was. You know, I don't watch any of them, so I only get introduced to them when they come on the U.S. show. And Pangina, she served it down.
She's actually like, she was a judge on Thailand or some shit. She was a judge and then she went on UK versus the world. So I saw her as a contestant, but she was never a contestant before. She's fierce. She's gorgeous. I want them to do that more instead of having us have to pay for WOW. Just put all of them on MTV. Okay.
Please. Like, seriously, we will watch. We will watch. Like, just stop with all this extra stuff. But, you know, they got to get their coin. And was there anything else you wanted to talk about with Drag Race?
I never want to see Idina Menzel as a judge.
Wait, first of all, I did like her.
She looked lost. Jeraza, can you please look at the tape of her like looking like a lost puppy? Like her,
yo. I love that she said that. Remember when we were in Ibiza and I made y'all watch that? We was crying. John Travolta introduced her as Adele.
Ladies and gentlemen, Azel. As it was but her face, when they were on the stage and her mouth is all open and she just looked like a deer in headlights. Like, she didn't know what was going on and there was
no idea.
Like, no.
I would rather her ex-husband, Taye Diggs, as a judge than her. Yes, I agree.
She just was so like, And as a Saturday night, a person who actually watches Saturday Night Live, I thought episode two was so cute. The way they did the whole
It was
so cute. I loved it how they made Candy the host. Like, I didn't think any of the skits were funny.
No, but yeah, honestly, I've never been a huge Saturday Night Live. Back in the day, I was more of a Mad TV girl. I thought Mad TV was funnier than
And Living Color too. But yeah, I loved the show. And I do like that they're kind of, I personally like the challenges on All Stars like a little bit better. I feel like they're a little bit more challenging because these are not their first rounds of like run of the mills. But I'm excited for this.
I'm just happy to have Drag Race back on my television. Granted, I think we all could agree like, this isn't like, last season was just stellar. So
oh my god, it was so good. It was just it's gonna be hard for them to do that again unless they get an all winner season again.
Yeah, they would have to get an all winner season or a season where like a runners up season. That would be another good one.
I need you to get out my brain. I literally just said I would do a runners up season. I would do all 12 girls who were the second best. Like,
but at the same time, I do like what Rue did. Granted, it is a little underwhelming and it will probably be an underwhelming season, but come on, you can't only keep bringing back the fiercest bitches. You know, there were other girls.
Do one with all the first eliminate queens.
It would be another underwhelming ass season. It's like, if we're bringing back anybody that went home in the early stages, you just got to know that they wasn't, that's why they didn't make it to the end for a reason. Like, that's just
What's one queen that you think should come back for All Stars? Like one queen that maybe just doesn't come back a lot or like hasn't been on yet that you would say put her on All Stars season 9?
Well, season 8, because this is only
I'm so well, no, all this is season 8. So I'm talking about next season, oh, All Stars season 9. If you just give me one or two.
The hard thing with me is that when it's just, I can't think like that. I literally have to like go through and look at their faces because there's like a million people and most of like my favorites, they've already been on All Stars or one or something. So I have to try to remember, which if I'm thinking back, I mean, honestly, I haven't seen, no, but she already won. I'm like Violet Chachki, but I'm like, I haven't seen her in a while. It would just be nice to see her again. I would honestly like to see Bianca Del Rio actually lip sync. We never, she slid by in her season. Let's think, she really skated by in her season just off of her being funny. But Bianca didn't really compete.
Nope.
And she just happened to be on a season of Week Queen. So she to me, I think she got a easy win.
That was before they used to make the finalists all lip sync. That's a good point.
Right. But I can't, it would really be hard to like think of one queen that it isn't a winner that hasn't been on, because it's like I can't, like I'm not one of those, like if I don't see your face, it's hard for me to think of you. I'm sorry, it's when it's like that, are you kidding me? Where what season just ended? Was it season 15?
15, yeah.
So that's 16 seasons. I've watched all 16 seasons and each season has like 16 queens. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I cannot. Can you? Who would you like to see?
Just one that sticks out in my head is Miss Fame, even though she's more of a model. Ooh. Now. She was on Violet Chachki season.
See, I can't even remember her face. Yeah, that's what I love about the All Stars, because once they step out, I look at them, I'm like, okay, you look familiar. And then I like when they show the throwback and I'm like, okay, yes, yes, yes. I don't rewatch old seasons. I'm not rewatching old episodes. So it's like, if you have not been on the show in years, if it's not fresh, I literally kind of forgot who you are but I can kind of recognize like, okay, all right. I kind of remember, but yeah, I can't.
No, and no, that's no. The one thing that a lot of queens do go back on All Stars, no matter how far they make it. Their like name, their promo is going to go that much more.
Yeah, because you're going to get right. Because look at James Mansfield. I'm sure you're getting like a new fan club that you didn't have before just from being on All Stars, you know. And people are like, oh, I like James. So yeah, totally works. But now let's get into our piss poor performance. Okay, who you got, Bestie?
You know what? My piss poor performance is to network television and streaming services.
Yes.
Because of this writer strike. So I, for work, for my full-time job, I work a lot with people in marketing. And like they have clients and they work a lot with like Netflix and Disney and Hulu and things like that. I've been reading the like YouTubes and looking at a lot of the stuff about it. They get my piss poor performance because this writer strike, like, is more and more looking like so unfair, so disgusting. And I really miss my late night shows, my little YouTube clips, but I really want them to fight for every penny they have. You are in the journalism space. You know what it's like to work hard, to have your own words and to kind of put them out there. The way they are gypping these writers of money, the way they have changed the system. So like Netflix, Hulu, all of these HBO Max, all these streaming services, you know who makes the money? The stars. They pay the writers like $20. They don't get residuals anymore when, like, you know, when you do like, remember before streaming services and it'd be repeats of Martin, the writers would get a check every time it was on TV.
Oh,
now it's streaming.
Yeah.
They don't get that money every time you press play on Martin. So the way they're just gypping these people of this money, the things I'm learning, watching like how one woman was like a writer on Big Mouth Cartoon. She's like, I think I had like my first check was like $20,000. Then I got like a $20 check. And she's like, I'm not making anything. And what they're asking for is not a lot. So that's why we're getting a lot of reality TV now, too. We're going to notice that until they figure this out, our scripted shows are going to be on pause because they want their money. And reality TV is, you know, it's raw. You don't need a script. So this is how a lot of networks are making their money. But I also love my scripted shows. And I just need all these networks to stop being so expensive.
Yeah.
Pay these people for what they deserve, these writers. And stop playing the stars. Because Netflix will have a $2 billion budget and they'll give Ryan Gosling $1 billion. And if that's up, insane. We got to find some way to. Yeah. So it's
insane what they're doing. This writer's strike is putting a lot of stuff on blast.
A lot.
And it's like, where is the money going? Mm. Y'all not paying y'all writers. You got people living in rundown, living in poverty in New York City, but writing for an award-winning show based in LA who have never visited the cast, never visited the set. It's just completely disrespectful of what's becoming of this industry. And to know that there's still people getting paid, but it's not the people that are really doing all the work. It's just disgusting on top of us being inconvenienced as the consumer.
Hello.
All these competing streaming services. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. It's getting oversaturated. And I am here for the digital streaming Napsters to come back. If they want to keep doing that to people and acting like people can't figure out ways to cut corners, because you're literally raping our pockets. You're spending more money now on streaming than you were just having cable provider.
Legit.
And it's just like, I'm over it. I'm so, so, so over it. Now they're talking about the Hulu with the Disney Plus. I'm like, that could work. And I could see that they're doing that because people was canceling Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus was wild and kept raising their price for us to watch damn Lady and the Tramp. Like, we don't watch all these movies since we was kids. Like, your content is not that serious for somebody paying you like $15. So you better merge with Hulu and figure it out. But at the same time, it's like, it's too many. It is too many. They're all competing with each other versus just like, why wouldn't y'all all just be on like a Hulu platform? So then now, as a consumer, you could choose like, okay, I'm going to pay $40, $50 a month for Hulu, but I have all these live channels. I have Disney. I have Paramount. You know what I mean? It's like, that just kind of makes sense to me. It's like a cable version. But for y'all to break everything down, destroy what used to be the cable industry and now turn it into all y'all competing with each other. Like, no, pay $5 to $10 for my app. Pay for my app. Now you're seeing it's not working because people are choosing not to, they're opting out. They might have it for a thing, like you said, to watch one show and then I'm canceling it.
Sorry, y'all. It's too much money. And I don't know
why. As soon as Drag Race is done, I'm canceling Paramount Plus again because it's like other than Drag Race, All Stars, Challenge, and Evil, there's no other shows on Paramount Plus that I'm watching. So why am I paying y'all $5 a month? For this app, like it just doesn't.
$5.
You get $5. Peacock, you get $5. Disney Plus, you. Discovery Plus, you. Like, come on, y'all doing too much. So you know,
that's my piss poor because they got to get it together so then we can go back to our scripted shows. Because if they don't figure this out, best friend, and this goes over to the summer, all of our show, like anything you like that's scripted, sci-fi, anything is that they're not gonna come back because they need to agree on giving them more money.
So. They gotta give the writers what they deserve. I didn't know that these writers was making nothing less than what we're making,
girl. Nothing, and then
they're making $40,000 a year,
and their stuff is being repeated. Oh my goodness. Not getting that same syndication money, and
that's messed up. The
freaking streaming services are trying to find ways around them. And they're like, no, all this money you get off these streamers, I'm riding it. Mm-hmm. I'm not even asking for $1 billion, but I'm asking to make a living wage. So piss off.
Yep. Until they figure it out. I totally, totally agree. And, you know, me and Mark are out here in LA. So when we were, where were we going the other day? And we were driving through the protests and we're like, yo, they really out here. They are outside of every studio protesting, and I'm here for it. People will honk their horns to show support. Like, hell yeah, get y'all money.
You don't want to join?
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm a writer, but I'm a journalist. I'm not. But I get paid. Right. The companies I work for, they pay us, so I don't got to worry about that. My piss poor goes to Danielle Oliveira on Summer House. Her weird obsession with Lindsay and Carl's relationship is just so secondhand embarrassment. To watch someone that's supposed to be your best friend, like I'm talking with my best friend right now doing this podcast, to imagine my best friend making my engagement and my happiness about her, it's just like weird. And then a lot of people are forgetting the fact, if you go back and watch season one, Danielle used to date Carl. They dated before the show ever even started. It didn't end because Danielle wanted it to end. It ended because we all saw who Carl used to be. Carl used to be an F-boy. So over the years, then what? By season four was the first time Carl and Lindsay tried to give it a go, but Carl was still, you know, he was drinking, just being a hot mess, so it didn't work out. And I think as long as it wasn't working out, it worked for Danielle. But now seeing them actually fall in love and taking things serious and going the next step, she is so disgustingly jealous. And
That he didn't do that for her.
no, at the time, one, her relationship was falling apart, but because her and her boyfriend Robert broke up by the time that show, this last season finished. But with this recent episode, you're seeing that she was still with Robert, and Robert was trying to defend her. Robert spoke to Carl and was like, you know, Danielle feels left out. She doesn't understand why she didn't know about the engagement. And Carl is like, I told her I was ring shopping. You know, he's like, but when it comes down to actually popping the question, like, that's just something between Lindsay and I. But then at the engagement party, Danielle was going around to all of Lindsay's family and complaining, like, you know, I just found out about this an hour ago. Yeah, I'm fucking pissed. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, now you're being psychotic over something that it's like, girl, if this was really your best friend, you would just be so happy for her. But you can tell that there's something deeper there. And the only thing I can think of being as a longtime viewer is the fact that she never really got over Carl, and she's jealous over how fast him and Lindsay are moving. Like, she probably wanted that for herself. And then at the same time, her and Robert were having issues. And what I think what really caused her and Robert to break up is he started noticing how obsessed she was over Lindsay and Carl. He probably was like, girl, I don't, this is not attractive to me.
And it's too much, and I don't want to be with somebody who's so worried about somebody else.
About somebody else. And so she just really played herself to go from last season, you fighting with Sierra to defend Lindsay, to now you and Lindsay not speaking because you can't be happy for your best friend. I mean, I never really honestly saw them as best friends. I'll be very, very honest. What I kind of got from it, and I'll touch on this. I had touched on this on Twitter. What you see on Summer House with their diversity, right? Because Danielle's Puerto Rican, you have Sierra who's black, and you have Maya who's black. Now they got this other new black girl as well. But these are the black girls that grew up around white people, the Spanish girls that grew up around white people. So there's a big identity issue there. You didn't grow up totally embracing your beauty as a woman of color because you were comparing yourself to white people and white culture. And what you see, what I gathered from Danielle, a lot with her personality is kind of like what I mean with her being friends with Lindsay is like she was kind of living vicariously through her. It's like Lindsay is the hot white blonde girl who, you know, she's vibrant, she's personable, she doesn't take no shit, she's a publicist. She, you know, she sleeps with whoever she wants. She enjoys her hot girl summer. And Danielle is just not that girl. And being around Lindsay, it kind of gives her this battery that she wouldn't have if she didn't have a Lindsay around. So it's still kind of like a obsession. Like that's not a genuine friendship where y'all are both just coming together and vibing off of your both individualities, and then you just mesh. You are kind of feeding off of Lindsay. And so now, in the event where she kind of could date and fall in love with someone and be ready to move in and get married, and it bothers you because it's like you have a weird obsession with her. And then, especially with her dating somebody that you used to date. And I don't
Why
think you
you
can admit that.
have sex with
Yeah.
me?
Yeah. That's some crazy shit. But I definitely had to give her my piss poor performance because I was like, girl, you are making a whole entire fool of yourself. We were all waiting. At first, I was team Danielle because I did feel like, you know, Danielle had been so loyal to Lindsay for so many years that regardless of whatever, Lindsay should have had more of her back. Like seeing Lindsay and Carl go on Watch What Happens Live and tell everyone, like, oh, her and Robert broke up. I was like, that's not cool. But now watching the season back and just seeing how like Danielle really was hating, it's like, okay, I could just tell, like, yeah, that friendship is over. But where was it really? If it's just if y'all could be best friends, like is like, you know, I don't know. My standards with best friends are high because I've had the same best friend. I've had the same best
Clearly,
friend
God
since
has
high
blessed
school.
us.
And yeah, I know. I have high standards because Tanae is my best friend. So I could just kind of see red flags when I just be thinking like, they're not really friends.
And listen, we have, Jorazin has had a wedding. One thing that I have learned as her best friend is people who do not love themselves or are not happy cannot be happy for you when you are celebrating love. And I think it brings out the worst in people. So I don't know who Brittany or Katie or Summer or whoever, I don't know any of these people.
Yes.
But in the House of Summer, I am not surprised that it's coming out.
Not the House of Summer. Oh my God. All right. And so on that note, let's get into our yay.
Yes.
we rooting for? Bestie, you go first.
Well, we know the best show ever came back yesterday or this past week, and that was Queer Eye.
Oh, okay.
All seven seasons. I've watched every single episode, every single season. Yes. Me and my best friend were talking about this before. It's just a good show. Yes. It's important. It's funny. It's real. It's honest. It's authentic. So I just hope, well, first of all, I'm just happy that they made it seven seasons because they're all doing their own thing.
It's and an I was amazing afraid, show. They better keep that show.
I was afraid after Karamo became Loki to new Maury that he was going to be like, I quit.
Right. No, Karamo, don't do that.
Please don't. I just love them together. I love who he is on this show. Like, I love his message. I love that he's a Black man. Like, it's not what he does in like the culture segment, but it's who he is. He's a gay Black man giving these like lessons of love. I love how they have somebody like Jonathan on the show who's just very authentically in their skin and who teaches other people. And I could tell these heroes ain't never met nobody like these five men.
No.
And it's just like, I love the show. I'm rooting for the show, but I'm really rooting for Speedy. He's one of their heroes. I don't want to give away his story, but it just teaches me like you got to just be present in what God has for you and stop asking him why and start asking him why not, whether it's good or bad. And I'm just rooting for this show. Like it makes me feel good, but I can't watch it.
Yeah, even like I love the first episode of season seven. It was a perfect kickoff. They're renovating a frat house. Like heterosexual guys. Just messy, messy, messy. Like, I love the little light shade they're giving them. Like, yo, y'all, this is disgusting. This house is disgusting. you're not respecting the house. And getting them together. The whole reno they did on that house was amazing. But then the personal reno, you know, the personal makeovers on the guys. And then their culture session with Karamo brought me to tears. Like I was literally crying with all of them, just seeing these men, these group of men come together and be vulnerable and share their own personal kind of struggles. And Karamo guide them through this and seeing them be, you know, kind of open with each other and shed tears and brotherhood. It was so, so beautiful to watch. And that's what Queer Eye is about. And to me, it's like, it can never get old. This formula works. And then episode two was so good. I just made it up to episode three with the one Tanae is talking about with Speedy, but that's what I love about this show. And so they get my yes. I'm rooting for all of them. I'm rooting for the whole cast. I love
episode two hit me.
It's
so real. Yes.
That one was, and
I felt so bad for this just gay woman who just was not comfortable being gay. Yeah. And like,
yeah.
It's a real thing. And I just love how they ask really good questions. They hit, and I can tell it's 100% real.
And her girlfriend, fiance now is gorgeous.
Yes.
So rooting for them. Totally rooting for them.
I want to go to the wedding. Invite me.
And it's like, I want to be your friend. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Totally rooting for Queer Eye. Watch this new season. It's, oh my gosh. Hands down, one of my favorite shows from season one. I've always loved this show. And then my yes, I just wanted to add Katie and Ariana on Vanderpump Rules. It's really inspiring watching them open their sandwich shop. It's called Something About Her.
And, oh, that's a cute name.
Yes. And it's two women coming together after their, now one has an ex-boyfriend and an ex-husband that they, you know, their exes open two bars together that are barely even open. But you see Ariana and Katie not waste no time, come together, get a space, and open their sandwich shop. Their sandwich shop, they sell sandwiches and beers. And it's so cute. Like the concept is so cute. And just watching these two women that you saw them start out as waitresses at and then bartenders at Lisa's restaurant. And now they're opening their own. Very, very inspiring. And it's honestly the only little bit of wholesome positivity you're getting out of this messy ass season.
Did you go yet? Is it open? Have you been?
I don't know. I got to go because, you know, I'm over here in West Hollywood, so it's not far from me. I do want to go check it out. I'm going to go definitely check it out because I actually love sandwiches. Yes. I am a sandwich queen.
Truly, she does love sandwiches.
I love sandwiches. Yes. So a place where I could like buy a sandwich and have a drink, like, hell yeah. Like, yeah. And it looks like Because what you're seeing on the show, it's just the beginning of what they were going to turn it, what they turned it into. So I don't know what it looks like today, but it looks like they were going to make it look really, really cute. So I definitely want to go see what it's going to look like. So shout out to them.
Yes. And F their freaking exes.
Yeah. The exes. Yeah. They're done. And so on that note, let's get into our final segment of positivity.
Because you know what everybody needs in this world? Some positive vibes, positive words, and positive quotes. Okay.
Yeah, affirmations, literally. Say them to yourself all throughout the day.
You saw them in episode 2. I think I was Googling an affirmation book. Like, I need that for my bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I like that. I got to write that down. I'm about to start releasing my own books.
That's it. Just be like, bitch, you got it. That's an affirmation. Girl, go ahead.
Yes, I love that.
So mine is, life is like a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving.
Oh, I love that. And mine is, be enough for yourself first. The rest of the world can wait.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you hear that, Jocelyn? Be enough for yourself first. Okay? And stop being a bully.
Yes. Please stop being a bully, Jocelyn, because it's really not cute. And then when she farted, ugh. But you know, she does stuff like, even on the cabaret, like she'd be like, I was taking a doodle and I hate that.
Like, a doodle.
Like, why do we need to know that? Like, yeah, she's nasty like that. But anyways, on that note, Tanea, what's our slogan?
I got it. Love, abundance, and hair bundles.
Woo!
I did it. Woo! You know what? Because I love peace of mind. I think it's putting peace in there.
Right. It would have been nice if you did that for our video episode, but it's okay.
We're going to do another one, and I'm going to like see if we can get a banner that says
love. We'll try it again. We'll try it again with our next video. Okay? Okay. All right, y'all. See you next week.
Hey, guys. Watch TV.